Hi there. Welcome to Alone But Not Lonely, the site for the single person learning to become comfortable with living alone, not necessarily by choice, but due to circumstances and or a lack of viable selections. I am Selena, your host on this journey. Before we begin, please accept this as a disclaimer. I do not offer advice. I only offer suggestions. I offer suggestions so that the person listening can exercise his or her right to choose. What worked for me may not necessarily work for you. Now, having said that, let's begin our journey. Today's journey is the second step of the grieving process. It is named anger. Previously, I shared with you four scenarios. In this segment and the subsequent ones, I'll review the previous steps illustrated in the grieving process, then introduce and explain the current step relative to each scenario. So, if you'll recall, the five steps in the grieving process are denial, anger, compromise, depression, and acceptance. The first scenario, explain why I introduced the five steps of the grieving process to students on the first day of school. By way of review, the first step, denial, illustrates how students react with frustration to the five-paragraph essay homework assignment about the American dream, which is due the following day. Amid sighs and groans, students attempt to wrap their mind around the request. This year, I heard a lot of five paragraphs. Five paragraphs? Tomorrow? Yes, the denial was alive and well. Once the mind has been thrown into a state of confusion, a state of disbelief, sometimes it is difficult to easily move on. This being the case, individuals may resort to anger. Relative to the school assignment, it kind of went something like this. I don't know who she thinks she is, but I'm not going to write an essay. I got other things to do tonight. It'll be a cold day and shut your mouth before I write that paper. It's the first day of school. I'm not going to do it. I won't do it. These are some of the words that some of the students, you know, they voice to express their dissatisfaction with having to come to terms with an assignment that they don't want to complete. Now, the second scenario involves the death of a loved one. Who of us has had difficulty recalling how after finding out that a loved one has passed on, after first finding it difficult to believe it in the first place, which is denial, we become angry. Angry that the person has left us. Angry that we will no longer see him or her. Angry that we will no longer be able to speak with him or her on the telephone or in person. Angry that we will no longer be able to share a laugh or share a meal or share anything else with the person who has died. Just angry with the mere fact that the person is gone. Because death is so final. Very rarely do we have the opportunity to make peace with death or the person before they leave us. It's always, always too soon. So it leaves us in a state of anger. Because more than anything in life, we are helpless and powerless over death. That in and of itself causes this stage of the grieving process, anger, to just kind of ebb and flow whenever we think about the loss of a loved one, even if that person may have been in pain. We still become very upset when we think of never being able to speak with him or her again. So, now the third scenario about which I spoke is that of people suffering from, alcoholism or drug addiction, who are in denial about their disease. And, you know, since the disease itself fools the person into believing that he is not ill, it's very difficult for the sufferer to believe that anything is wrong. On the other hand, onlookers, they don't have any problem labeling it, calling it what it is. However, once the sufferer decides to stop drinking or drugging, then he finds out that he cannot. He becomes angry. He's angry because he can't stop, because he can't control it. Because when he says enough, it doesn't mean anything. So he becomes frustrated. He becomes angry with himself. He argues with himself, asks what's wrong with himself. Why can't he stop? Now, this total lack of control often leads to rage. As strange as it may seem, the more enraged the person becomes at himself from the inability to control his drinking or drugging, the more he actually drinks or drugs to escape that feeling of anger. And then finally, the final example considered is about relationships. The young lady believes that she and her guy are exclusively dating each other. Once she becomes aware of his betrayal, however, she can't imagine that he would mistreat her in this manner. However, to add insult to injury, as they often do, the guy returns. In all of his arrogance, selfishness, and greediness, he attempts to convince her that she's the only one in which he's interested. The more he talks, the more obvious it becomes that he's lying to her. A flash of rage crosses her face, and she screams, "What do you take me for, a fool? If you're messing around with another woman, you don't want me. Why are you even here anyway? Wasting my time, you're a liar and a cheater." And that little vein on her temple begins to pulsate. Angrily, she points towards the front door and instructs him to get out. Feeling that fury in the air, he exits her place readily. Then her irritation turns inward. Now she wonders, how could she have ever been such an idiot? So four totally different scenarios of us grieving either something or someone that we have lost, or something or someone that we did not receive. Now, do let us remember, however, that the ultimate goal, of course, is acceptance. So, having gone through denial and now anger, sometimes a person might have to experience the next stage of grief, compromise. Until next time, this is Selena, your host for Alone But Not Lonely.